right. We are recording for Pentecost 3, July 3rd. Romans 7, verses 14 through 25 is the text. And my name is Tim Selesk, and I'm going to be your guide through this text for today. And what I'm going to do is take us through the grammar and syntax and a few interpretive remarks. And then at the end, I'll give a couple of thoughts that may help you with the direction of a sermon. All right, so Paul is really kind of moving to a little different topic here as we move into verse 14, which is halfway through chapter 7. And remember, again, this is part of this whole section, 6, 7, and 8, in which he is dealing with arguments about the Christian life as he's moved his focus, building on what he's been saying about justification earlier in the chapter. So we start out with the oidomen, which is, of course, a perfect tense that's used as a present tense. This is a simple first common plural. We know that the law is spiritual. So notice by saying the law is spiritual, he's really saying that the law comes from God, who is spirit, so that the law's affinities are divine, not human. And so he's making a very positive claim for the law. And remember, he has been trying to show throughout this section that the law is not bad. And he's been trying to mount this argument about the place and purpose and goodness of the law, probably against people who had a question about it due to his teaching. So the law is spiritual. In contrast, notice what he says, ego sarkinos eimi, but I am fleshly. I am of the flesh. So notice the contrast between the law, which is spiritual, and ego, I, who is fleshly. And then he adds this appositional phrase, starts with the verb pepramenos, sold under sin. That pepramenos is a perfect passive participle. Perfect passive participle, masculine singular, from piprosko. Notice it's used as a simple predicate adjective with the verb eimi. I am sold under sin. So, but I, and notice the emphatic position of I, am fleshly, sold under sin. So notice that that last phrase expands on, explains, goes into a little more depth about what it means to be sarkinos for Paul. Okay, verse 15 continues that kind of explanation. Sold under sin, what does that mean? He's using this metaphor of slavery, really. And I think it's important we remember, too, and it may help you when you're thinking of a sermon, that sin is not just pictured by Paul throughout this section as some kind of abstract concept or some non-concrete thing, but he sees it as a real power that holds people. So he uses this language of slavery about both sin and about death that you need to be rescued from. All right? You're under another power. So verse 15, he expands on what this means with the ha gar kat ergadzomai. For what I accomplish, I do not know, ginosko. Okay, notice he also switches to present tenses throughout the verbs here because he's dealing with customary habitual action with a condition that he finds himself in. So these present tenses all translate into simple presence into English to kind of make that point for us. Okay, so that kater gadzomai, I think that the lexicon, the Bauer Danker lexicon, has a very nice translation. He translates the clause, for what I am accomplishing, I do not desire or want or decide. So notice he wants to translate ginosko, and he gives a couple other examples where that meaning is possible, almost with the meaning of want or to decide. Another possible translation, what I accomplish, I do not understand or recognize. So there's kind of an incomprehensibility to his actions if you go with that translation. All right. Notice that if you go with the first translation, it's almost as if Paul sees what's happening but doesn't fully recognize it as his own, that he's slave to this other power, this other force, which is sin, hamartion. Okay. So if we go with the Bauer Danker translation, for what I accomplish, I do not, quote, desire. For not what I wish, then you see thelo is a rough synonym of ginosko in this context. For not what I wish, this I do, but what I hate, this I do. All right, so again, notice there's this paradox, practical paradox that Paul is aware of, that you see him dealing with in this section, this tension that is part of the Christian life. All right, and so verse 16 builds on that. For if what not do I wish, or for if what I do not wish, this I do, symphemi, I agree, simple, again, these are simple present tenses, indicatives, I agree with the law that it is good. So there's the point again that he's making. The law is not evil or bad, but it's good. It's from God. All right. Then we go to verse 17, again, picking this up. But now, no longer I do it. See, kat ergotsomai auto, do it. But the dwelling in me sin. Notice that oikousa is a simple feminine participle. Feminine participle, singular. And it is in the attributive position, so it's modifying hamartia. And we would translate it with a relative clause. But the sin which in me dwells. All right. Notice that ego is emphatic. But no longer I do it, but the sin which dwells in me. So as one person has said about this verse, to be saved from sin, a man must at the same time own it and disown it. It is this practical paradox which is reflected in this verse, and I think that's very powerful. We live in a paradox, a tension that is part of this present age in which we now dwell. And I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of my comments. So notice how Paul is kind of building his argument about what it means to be sold into sin or sold under sin here as we go through verse 17. Verse 18, then we pick it up again with the same word as we start with verse 14, oidomen, but here it's oida, for I know that not does dwell in me, okay? That is, in my flesh, agathon, good. See, and we would, smoother English, for I know that nothing dwells in me that is in my flesh, good. Nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. Again, we're sticking with the present tense. Oike is from oikeo, simple present indicative, third masculine singular, okay? Now here, notice the next construction with the ta gar thelain. Notice that thelain is an infinitive, all right, a present infinitive active. Notice that with the ta in front of it, as infinitives often do, they can function as subjects of verb or objects of verbs. So here it's the subject. For the wish, para ketai, is present. From para kemai, again, third masculine, singular, indicative middle. For the to wish, or for the wish, is present in me. Or we could translate it, for the wishing is present in me. But the kat ergazesthai, but the doing, again, that's another infinitive, middle, present middle infinitive. But the doing, the good, is not. So notice how kat ergazesthai has both kind of the functions of a noun, because it is the subject of the implied verb para kemai, but also it takes the direct object ta kalon, and that's not all that unusual, okay? For the wishing is present in me, but the doing the good is not, and then we understand present with the u there, all right? So again, notice that there is this separation from sin and yet this inevitable slavery to sin, this tension that he is dealing with in his own life and in his own experience. He again kind of goes back to this notion in verse 19, ugar hothelo, for not what I wish. Notice this for just syntactically here. For not what I wish do I do good. It looks really complicated, but all this is an example that's very common. It's called incorporation. Here's the syntactical lesson for the day. In Greek, incorporation is when the antecedent, which in this case is agathon, when the antecedent is incorporated into the relative clause. That's what incorporation is. So we would say, so notice that agathon and ha share the same kind of characteristics, all right? So we would translate in English kind of loosely, for not the good which I wish do I do, see? Or I do not do the good which I wish. In Hebrew, it's, or in Greek it is, for not what I wish do I do good. See, and then you see incorporation in the second clause here. But what I do not wish evil, or we would say, but the evil which I do not wish, this I do. Okay, so once again, verse 19. For the good which I do not wish, I do not do. But the evil which I do not wish, this I do. So notice kind of this hopeless condition that he's in. That brings forth quite an exclamation at the end of the text. Verse 20, but if what not do I wish, this I do. Again, you're seeing incorporation here with the tuto is the antecedent. But if that, see, we would translate, but if that which I do not wish I do, no longer am I doing it, but the sin which dwells in me. So again, the oikousa is in attributive position. It modifies hamartia, simple participle, all present tense verbs here. But if what I do not wish, this I do, no longer am I doing it, but the sin which dwells in me. That's an amazing statement, see? Notice how sin is so much a part of his life, but not the essential part of his life. Sin has him in slavery, and yet it's enslaving him against the essential part of him. And so Paul's trying to bring expression to something that I think is part of Christian experience throughout our lives, as I've said before. And it's a passage well worth meditating very carefully on here. Verse 21 then, with the hurisko, again, a present tense, you know, indicative active, I find ara, therefore, ton nomen, the law. But again, remember, nomos has a number of different meanings throughout Paul and throughout Romans. And here we would probably best translate it as principle. For I find, therefore, the principle in me who wishes. Thelontai is, again, notice a dative participle, dative singular, active from thelo, attributive position, all right? In me who wishes. For I find, therefore, the principle in me who wishes what? Poi ein is a supplementary infinitive. Who wishes what? To do, from poi el, the good, that in me the evil is present. Paraketai. All right. Verse 22, this is a great passage here. Sin edomai, for I delight. All right, from sin, again, this is a middle present, middle first common singular indicative verb. For I delight in the law of God. And here I think law has its kind of more common conventional meaning. For I delight in the law of God according to the man within, the inner man. Esso is an adverb there, the man within. All right. But I see another law, heteron nomen, in my members, antistratuomenon, again, a present middle participle, masculine singular. Present middle participle, masculine singular, accusative. And it modifies nomos, a war which, or a law which wars against. So, but I see what? Another law, another principle in my members, which wars against the law of my nous, my mind. And here's another attributive participle, eich malotidzontai, present active participle, masculine singular accusative, which captivates me or captures me or makes me captive to the law and to nomos, to the principle of sin. All right, which to is in my members, the one which is in my members. The anti is just a dative participle from ami. All right. So again, for I delight in the law of God according to the man within. But I see another law in my members, warring. See, so there's a battle going on inside of Paul, warring against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin, namely to the law which is in my members. Okay, so what do you do about this? Notice as Paul's contemplating this about himself, he has this exclamation that when he recognizes his position, his helplessness, it's a humbling, fearful position, recognition that he has been brought to. Talaiporas, wretched I am, anthropos. I am a wretched man, or wretched I am a man. Who, risses thy, will deliver me. This is a third singular, future middle indicative. Third future middle indicative, third singular, future middle indicative from ri'omai. Who then will deliver me from the body of this death? Charis de, and I love this answer. Thanks to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's where the text ends. Thanks to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So notice this is this great move that Paul does here in which he recognizes the captivity that he is under. See, he needs to be rescued. He can't rescue himself. He's captive to another will. And that puts him in this wretched position of captivity, of tension between what he truly is and what God has made him, but the recognition that sin still weighs him down, and he realizes that his only hope is Jesus. So notice he goes right to the cross. It's a beautiful passage here. Some thoughts, just a couple of short things. Number one, in the preceding situation, sin was kind of working in secret. If you look at 7 verses 1 through 13, here you can see that Paul puts up an agonizing struggle against the enemy. So notice that sin is seen as the enemy. Sin is seen as the enslaving power, as I've said before. And I think that needs to be brought out in a sermon about the way Paul pictures sin. And in studying for that sermon, it would be good to go through the rest of the book, especially the chapters preceding this, to see how that plays out in Paul. Also notice that as Paul is talking here, the age to come has arrived for Paul, though the old age has not yet passed away. So notice he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He's been given a new heart. In a sense, he's a new creature. Which desires God and desires to do God's will and loves to do it. So notice freedom in the sense of someone who's in love. You love freely and you want to please. It's not that you serve someone you love against your will. So that's what Paul is now. And yet he is caught in the tension between the now and the not yet, the present age and the age to come. That's the Christian condition. And I think that as a sermon begins to talk about what Paul is saying, what Paul is experiencing, people being made aware of that condition, all actually being made to sense it and feel it and experience it, is the challenge of the pastor who wants to write a sermon on this, so that through your word of proclamation, you can provide the deliverance of Jesus Christ, as Paul actually does here in verse 25. All right, that's enough for now. Thank you all very much.